time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. Coming up a little bit later on today, we'll talk with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. The second region All-A Classic baseball and softball tournaments are coming up next week, and we'll tell you all about those. Also coming up in just a little bit, we'll have Kaawa County football head coach Aaron McClung in the studio with us. Now, coming up tonight, we've got baseball action on the air. The Caldwell County Tigers will host the Henderson County Colonels at the VFW Ballpark. Game time set for 6:30, and we'll have all the action for you right here on WPKY as the Tigers host the Henderson County Colonels. We've got softball action coming up on Saturday. The Lady Tigers will play a couple of games at Lady Tiger Field at the Ratliff Park Complex. Starting about 10 o'clock, they'll take on Christian County and Graves County, and we'll have both softball games on the air for you Saturday right here on WPKY. Stay with us. We'll talk with Tiger football head coach Aaron McClung when we come back on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Uncover the charm of banking local with Fredonia Valley Bank, your steadfast financial partner since 1894. Through times of change, Fredonia Valley Bank remains by your side to handle your banking with a legacy of excellence. Discover strength in their local roots and experience the difference of genuine community banking. Embrace the mantra of living local. Eat, buy, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank. Local people, local decisions, and local commitment. Your true hometown bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations, it's a girl.
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Your local McDonald's wants you to know that they are ready to serve you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Dine-in or the drive-thru is always open, and they offer curbside pickup service. To avoid the wait in the drive-thru, you can download the McDonald's app and try curbside pickup. Stop in soon and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at your local McDonald's. Proud to be a part of this community. McDonald's of Princeton, proud supporters of the Caldwell County Tigers.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYonline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYonline.com and click on Big Deals today.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. As promised, Tiger football head coach Aaron McClung in the studio with us this morning. And Aaron, thanks for coming in today. And how are things going with the Tiger football team right now?
Well, we've had a really good off-season weight program. We've had about 35 kids lifting regularly since the season ended. We started the weight program earlier this year. There's been some years that we waited until January to start lifting, and we started lifting as soon as the season ended this year. We started lifting in December, and we've made a lot of gains. We've got a lot of kids that have really gotten stronger. We return about 17 kids that are going to be seniors, so we should have a big senior class. Next year we'll have a big senior class and a big freshman class and a big sophomore class. The junior class is pretty light, but there's been a couple kids that are going to come back out for that class. So, you know, we expect to have about 50 kids, and we feel pretty good about what we've done this offseason, and we just hope it translates on the field.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good season for you guys, especially with the big senior class coming back this fall.
Yeah, we have a big senior class. You know, we got a lot of kids that play other sports. We got kids, Dalen is running track this year. He's looking really fast, and got a lot of other kids running track and playing baseball. But those kids, a lot of those kids that are playing other sports are also in the weightlifting class during the school day, so they're still getting a lift. I feel good about the progress we've made, and I hope it we can see the results of it on the field. I feel good about it, but it's, season's a long way off. You know, I know Cam Wilson was a really important player for us, and he had tore his ACL near the end of the year. And if you saw him now, you'd be shocked at how, he's gotten really big.
Wow.
He's gotten really big and really strong. So he's going to get fully released in May. And, I know I'm biased, but if you ask me, I think he's the best player in Western Kentucky, and I hope you see that this year. I think he's really dedicated himself. You know, he's going on 4 visits to schools next week. He's going to go visit some Division II schools, and he's going to go visit Murray State in Western Kentucky. And I really hope he has a big year, and some other guys have a big year, and that helps them get recruited, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, the district though is always going to be tough. Every time you look up, you got Mayfield and still Crittenden County and Trigg County in the district. So it's Fort Campbell's still there. So it's just going to be a tough district again.
Yeah, anytime you're in Mayfield's district, it's going to be a good district. That's the standard that we're going after. I've tried to set a goal, attainable goal for us each year, and we've done pretty good at achieving those goals. But, it's time to make a move this year. And so, Mayfield will be very good. They return probably the best running back in this end of the state. And they return their quarterback, but they graduated a lot in other places. So, that's our target. We want to win the district. I don't say that every year, but that's our goal. We want to go win the district this year. And that's the approach we've taken in the weight room. We've really worked hard. Coach Riley's done a good job working with them, and that's our goal.
Yeah, anytime you play Mayfield, though, you're not going to shut them down. You just hope you can play with them for a while and keep it close and give yourself a chance.
Bottom line, you just want to beat them. I don't care if it's by 1 point or 14 points. That's the goal. You just want to beat them, they've had – there's been a lot of years that they've had a lot more talent than we did, and that makes it hard, because they're a good football program, they're well coached, and they have talent. But I really feel like going into this year that talent gap is closed some, so we're hoping to take advantage of that. We're hoping that we can come out and compete with them, we just want a chance to win the game. We just want to be in a game where we can win it in the fourth quarter. And I feel like this upcoming season that I'm hoping that this is our chance to make that move. We got a lot of work to do between now and then. But, I feel like that we have the kids to be able to compete with them this year. So, we're going to work our butts off and try to put ourselves in a position to have a chance.
Yeah, the district remains the same this year as it was last year. But we should get realignment coming up for the next 2 seasons. What are you hearing as far as classes and what the district might look like?
I don't really know for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't end up in a 5-team district and the other district be 5 teams. I wouldn't be surprised if Murray doesn't end up back in 2A. I wouldn't be surprised if Crittenden doesn't end up back in 1A. Those are just some of the things that you can kind of look at the numbers and you think might happen. I think that we will know something in May, because I think they'll have a draft that'll come out in May, the KHSAA. So I think we'll have a pretty good idea then. It really won't change a lot for us, even if those things happen. If Murray comes back to our district, We play them anyways. If Crittenden goes to 1A, we're not. I mean, they're going to keep playing us. That's a big rivalry game. So, if we go to a five-team district, that'll make us have to have another non-district game for our schedule. So I don't see it changing a whole lot. I think a lot of the people that are currently on our schedule will keep playing us. And, you know, it just may be some adjustments on a couple teams being district or non-district games.
Now, it hasn't been that long ago that we spent 4 years in Class 3A, but I think we're pretty much firmly entrenched in 2A right now.
Yeah, I don't see any way that we would move out of 2A. We're not close on either end of the enrollment, so I think that we will for sure be 2A. And, you know, historically, Caldwell County's always been a 2A. I think the 4 years that we were 3A, those are the only years that we've ever been 3A.
Yeah.
Those were good years. We won the district every year in those years, I believe.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if we lost a district game.
I don't think we did. I think we
and that was with Paducah Tillman in the district.
We beat Tillman. Yeah. We beat Tillman 4 years in a row, and we beat Henderson 4 years in a row during those years, and those were really good football teams, and we just kind of ran into some other really good football teams in the playoffs, but when you're coaching during those years and we were good, you're always disappointed that you don't go to the state championship.
Right.
Reflectively speaking, I look back at those teams and I'm like, man, those were really good teams. They were really good teams. So you kind of get spoiled when you have a run of success and you don't really recognize kind of like Andy from The Office. I wish you could realize that you're in the good times before the his quote was before the good times are past.
But our really good run kind of coincided with a really good run for Elizabethtown.
Yeah,
and it seemed like we kind of ran into them every year in the playoffs.
Yeah, those E-Town teams, they were some of the best E-Town teams. Yeah. The team that beat us with a Hail Mary, I think that was the best E-Town team. And, we went right down to the wire with them and should have won. And the next two years, we weren't as good. And I don't think they were as good, but they beat us bad the next 2 years. Well, the second time, I thought that we would have been in the game if it hadn't been for that bad call in that end zone.
Yeah.
When Zach Gaither caught that touchdown and the referee thought the soccer line was the out-of-bounds line. So I think that that would have been a lot closer game if we hadn't had that call. But, there were some really good E-Town teams. That was Coach Mark Brown. He did a really good job there. He's a really tough coach. So, we just kind of ran into a buzzsaw in 3A then.
Yeah, once you get out of the area, there are some really, really good teams out there. There's almost a big step up in the competition level. You talk about an E-Town, and then you start talking about Louisville area teams and Lexington area teams. There's a whole lot of talent in those areas.
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember this, but we beat a really good LaRue County team.
Yeah,
1 year, and they were really good. They were big, and they had that running back that played at Army. And the next year, they weren't as good, and they beat us because we just couldn't tackle that kid. And then they went and beat E-Town, and I think made it to the semifinals. So, yeah, sometimes you just never know. It's hard. That's why it's hard to compare teams from different eras, because you never know how good the other teams in the district and in the area were then. Like right now in Western Kentucky, I don't feel like the Western Kentucky talent is as good as it was in the 2010s. I think there's some good players, but just overall, the teams aren't. I just don't think they're as talented as. And I don't know what it is. It's just like you'll have a generation of kids that just aren't as much into it. And then when you have a good team, it just seems like everybody else in there is also good. But it's kind of weird how that works.
It's hard to foresee a run sometimes. But, I know the 1998 team won the state championship. There's people who say the 1997 team might have been better. The 1963 team won the state championship. I've heard some of those guys say the 1962 team might have been better.
Yeah.
So, but 63 and 98 got on that run and got it done somehow.
Well, I will tell you this, and I'm going to say it's a fact. It's my subjective opinion, but I feel like that the 12 team that played in the state championship was the worst, talent-wise, of all the teams probably till like 2018. The 13 team was loaded offensively. We were scoring points like crazy, and the 14 team was really good. And then the 15 team, I felt like, had the best defense in the 2010s. And that was the team that lost three games, and they were all in like the last 20 seconds of the game. And that team, the 15 team, which was Shane Burns' first year at quarterback, that 15 team, that defense was incredible. So, yeah, it's weird how that works.
Yeah, you just never know. And it all comes down to matchups and a weird play here or there. And like you said, E-Town beat us on a Hail Mary that, you know, we had two guys there that were probably the most two athletic kids on the team that maybe could have knocked that ball down, and somehow they just missed it, and it fell in the receiver's hands for a touchdown. It's still hard to fathom.
Well, and I think a lot of it is, a lot of people don't realize this, but I think a lot of it is just like the momentum that kids, you know, because in 12, you know, we had some bad losses on that season, and when we got in the playoffs, we got into this survival mentality where we were just like, well, I hope we win this week, and we went out and prepared, and when we won, it was like, oh well, we won. We get to play another game, and then we just kind of built up a lot of momentum, and the kids just got this belief that we were going to keep winning, and we just kept rolling. I mean, we went up to DeSales, and we were up 31-7 in the first half, and they won the next two state championships.
Yeah.
So, you know, to go up to Louisville and play that DeSales team, which was loaded, and they rolled the next 2 years. That was a giant win, and I remember being in the press box. My dad actually did the camera in that game. He could hear them. They were like, we thought they were going to throw the ball every time, and Jalen is just running wild up and down the field on them. So, you know, a lot of it is just what do you get to a point where when you get in the playoffs and the weather gets cold and the kids, it's just a lot of it is just how bad kids want to win when you get in the playoffs, because everything kind of grinds down to play-by-play. Weather is a factor, but it's a factor in a different way. Sometimes you get a group of kids that are really talented that get cold and don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of mentality, you're going to get beat.
Yeah.
And when you get out in some weather and you're like, oh, I'm a little cold and I'm a little uncomfortable, that you're setting yourself up to lose.
Yeah. So. We're talking this morning with Tiger football head coach Aaron McClung. Of course, it's not football season, but it's always kind of football season because you guys always have something going on. Now, the KHSAA, we talked about realignment earlier. They announced some changes this year with some multipliers for maybe the private schools or whatever, and maybe an historical marker where if you have a lot of success in one class, you get bumped up to another class.
Yeah, they're looking at some different kind of multipliers, and you know, some states have separated the publics and the privates, and you know, so that is what they're trying to avoid in Kentucky. In Kentucky, you have a very large lobby of private schools. You have a lot of legislators whose kids go to private schools. So those legislators are over the KHSAA, and they don't want it separated. So the KHSAA is finally trying to think of some ways to try to adjust things for schools to make competition a little more fair. Because, I mean, it's obvious. You know, some people just want to say, well, you just need to work harder. But it's obvious that some schools have advantages that other schools do not have. And, you know, there's not very many schools like Caldwell County where you're a rural school and you're a county school and there's only one school in the district. We are rare when it comes to teams that win a state championship. There are very few teams like us that compete for state championships. And part of that reason is, you know, there's only 12,500 people or so in Caldwell County. And a lot of schools have advantages because they pull from very large areas. So they're looking at some different kind of multipliers. They're looking at a multiplier for private schools. But the big multiplier I think that they're going to end up on is a success multiplier, where if you have a lot of success over years and years and years and years, it's obvious that you have some kind of advantage to be that successful over years. And you're going to get bumped up a class or two classes. And I think that you're going to see where a lot of schools that aren't good over years and years and years and years, and they just struggle because they're in a big class and they don't have a big city to draw from. You're going to see those schools move down. So I think that's where they're going to end up. They're going to end up with some kind of success multiplier that tries to put all the schools that have the same kind of advantages in the same class and the schools that don't have the advantages down the same class. I don't think we'll really ever get moved. I think we'll always kind of fall in 2A, maybe 3A, but I think it'll be good. A lot of people will complain about it, but I think it'll be good for football across the whole state. It'll be good for the overall health of the state. Because I'm going to be honest, if you got teams that have big advantages and they're just winning it every year and every year, it's hard to get kids to come out to play at a school that is 0-10 or 1-9 every year. And those kids quit playing or they go to another school. And that's another problem is the transfer rules. But they go to another school. Well, then all those good teams, all those good teams that win every year, they're not going to have anybody to play. So
yeah, they're just going to keep getting bumped up. You know, if Mayfield goes to state championship game 6 years in a row and wins a couple of state championships, they're not going to be in 2A anymore. They'll get bumped to 3A.
Yeah, but I think that it will be good. I mean, Mayfield might end up in 3A, maybe 4A, but I don't think they would ever – they would never be able to have the kind of repeated success that they had in 1A. So I think eventually they would – everybody would end up settling about where they were. And I think it would help the playoffs. It would make things more competitive. It would make the games a little more interesting in the playoffs. And another thing that I think it would make is you would truly know that 6A was the best football.
Yes.
So, like, you went to the state championship. If you have 10 years of a success multiplier, you're going to know 6A is the best class.
Yeah.
Because the best teams have moved up there. And 5A is the next best class. And then 1A, you know, you may have a team win a state championship that is a big school. You may have Muhlenberg County eventually win a 1A state championship. I don't think they would ever fall that far down. But so what? Because that improves. I mean, I know people want to build football dynasties, but we're not the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New England Patriots. Yeah. We're trying to help kids and help the sport and what the sport can do for kids. So that is what – you know, you hope the KHSAA takes in consideration when they do this. They want to increase participation, increase the overall health of football across the state, so kids continue to have this opportunity. And it's not all about building your imaginary dynasty in these old men's minds. It's about what's doing best for kids in the game.
Again, we're talking this morning with Tiger football head coach Aaron McClung. We need to get to another timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Transform your home into a paradise with the Home Rejuvenation Giveaway. Imagine a room makeover with a prize pack worth $3,300. Don't let this incredible opportunity pass you by. Enter today at WPKYonline.com. Contest ends April 30th.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. We're talking this morning with head coach Aaron McClung of the Caldwell County Tiger football team. Coach, I almost said the Caldwell County Crawdads.
I could dig the Crawdads, man.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, a little April Fool's Day story on the Facebook. And, you know, we got a couple of people, but thought it was a fun April Fool's Day story.
Yeah, it was, that was funny. And that I like the name, the Crawdads. So it's unique. That's one of the bad things about being the Tigers is, like, a third of the teams we play are also the Tigers. So.
Well, I thought we were finally going to be the only Tigers in this area or in the second region when the new Christian County School was going to be, what was it, the Wolf Pack?
Yeah.
And then they changed their minds and went to the Christian County Tigers, which sounds all kinds of wrong. And I don't know, if you're going to make a new school and they say all the records will be new, nothing carries over from Hopkinsville or Christian County, then come out with a new color scheme, come out with a new nickname, and just go completely new all the way.
Yeah, I agree. I wish they hadn't been the Tigers. So who else is Tigers in this area?
Murray.
Murray the Tigers.
There you go.
Yeah, we play them. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Did you know that Edival was the Tigers back in the day?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, Tigers, Cardinals, those kind of names seem like half the schools. And Colonels used to be a big
nickname.
Yeah,
used to have a lot of Colonels. So. I remember when Graves County consolidated, they were going to be the Colonels, the Generals, or the Eagles, and they let the community vote, and the community picked the Colonels, and then the school board's like, yeah, we're not being the Colonels.
So they ended up with the Eagles.
They ended up with the Eagles.
It's interesting, though, how nicknames kind of come about, because the Tiger nickname here really came from Madisonville, from the first Princeton high school football game back in 1911. Madisonville had been playing a few years. It was the first game for Princeton Butler. Everybody thought Madisonville would win it pretty handily. It ended up being 6-0. And so there was a letter sent from Madisonville to the school officials here and ended up in the newspaper that said, you should still be proud of your team. They fought like Tigers.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
So ever since then, we were just known as the Tigers. I could never find one instance, though, where the school said, hey, from now on, we're officially the Tigers. It was just always the Tigers after that.
I will say this. When I moved to Caldwell County in 03 to start coaching, I was very happy to be a Tiger because Tigers are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you can find lots of cool Tiger stuff, statues and stuff like that, because I had been a Wildcat, and then I was an Eagle in high school. And then I was a Gator, and then I was back to an Eagle, and then I was a Pilot for a year. So Tiger is definitely much cooler than all those names.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you look around the state, and sometimes it would be cool to have, like, that unique nickname. Like, if you say the Briar Jumpers,
yeah,
everybody knows you're talking about Somerset,
I like Lloyd Memorial. Do you know what they are? The Juggernauts.
Really? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like the Juggernauts.
But it's always interesting how those nicknames kind of come about. And what you would like to have is a nickname that is, a name that kind of suits your community a little bit.
What about the Griffins? We could be the Griffins.
Yeah, we could be,
Yeah. Our mascot could be the mythological Griffin.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take that. Canisius is the Griffins.
There you go.
The Golden Griffins.
There you go. That'd be pretty cool.
We're going to do baseball today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love going to baseball games. Baseball, I love, you know, it's hard for me to watch on TV, but we play fantasy baseball together, and that's fun. But I like going to baseball games. There's just something about the feel of it. And, you know, Henderson, I'm sure Henderson is going to be really good, and they're going to be really arrogant. So I picked that game out to come do because I know it'll be an interesting game. And I would really love for to come out and get that win against them because it's pretty sweet to beat them in anything.
For real. And, some of the biggest games in Tiger baseball history have come against Henderson County. Mm-hmm. I mentioned on the news today that the 13-12 game back in the 1991 second region championship mm-hmm. game is probably the biggest of over 900 wins all time in Tiger baseball history. So there we go.
There you go.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning. Anything new football-wise coming up this fall?
Not really. You know, after spring break, we'll have another week of lifting, and then we'll have some spring practice sessions and – you know, we don't get a lot of kids out for spring ball for this reason. You know, our eighth graders can't do spring ball, so you don't have them. And then we're not gonna have any kids that play other sports. So that kind of limits us. We might have, only have 10 or 15 kids, but we'll go out and hit a little, do some drills, and see what some guys got.
All right, appreciate you coming in, and we'll talk more during baseball today.
Thanks, Don.
Tiger football head coach Aaron McClung with us on the Sideline Report this morning. We need to get to another break. When we come back, Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com will join us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
At Whitetail Properties, land isn't just their business. It's their way of life. Their land specialists are hunters, farmers, and rural landowners committed to helping you reach your dreams.
Got the sniffles or a scratchy throat? Don't let germs crash your plans. Swing by Princeton Drugs drive-thru, where testing for flu, COVID, or strep takes less time than your favorite song. Skip the waiting room shuffle, stay in your car, and let the pros handle it. For only $40, you'll get quick results, a prescription if needed, and even a note for work or school. Next time you want hustle, not hassle, remember, Princeton Drugs drive-thru testing is your fast track to feeling good and moving on to what's next.
Golf Lesson, starring Catherine Brown of the UK Women's Golf Team. And wait.
Catherine, bankers use a lot of banking lingo. You use a lot of golf lingo, so I need to learn some of these terms like birdie and eagle.
You don't need to know what birdie or eagle is. You need to know double bogey, triple bogey, quadruple bogey, quintuple bogey.
Farmers Bank. We speak your language and make banking easy.
Out of bounds.
Very funny.
Penalty drop. Slice, hook, bunker, yeah, shank. Yeah.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Four!
Struggling with ear infections, sinus problems, sleep apnea, or hearing loss? Caldwell Medical Center is excited to introduce a new specialized care, otolaryngology. Their expert ENT team offers comprehensive treatments from advanced diagnostics to tailored surgical solutions. Don't let ENT conditions hold you back. Visit them at caldwellmedical.com to learn more about these services and how they can help you breathe, sleep, and hear better. Caldwell Medical Center, expert care right here at home.
Dirty or low oil can seriously shorten the life of your engine. That's why the certified service experts at Trice Hughes in Princeton undergo extensive training to understand your vehicle's engine and oil needs. With regular oil changes from their experienced team, you can trust your vehicle is ready to perform its best mile after mile. Don't let neglect keep you off the road. Visit Trice Hughes for your next oil change and keep your vehicle running strong. Schedule today at TriceHughes.com.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, we appreciate you tuning in this morning and joining us. Joining us now on the show, we're going to talk to Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. As always, a busy time in sports. And, Scott, we've got a lot going on right now.
Yep. Even though it's spring break, a lot of teams are taking the opportunity to play. And, of course, Class 2A action in the process of ending, and then you get All-A Classic next week for baseball and softball.
Now, I saw where Trigg County's girls won the 2A regional or sectional, however they define that, but correct me if I'm wrong, but Trigg County is actually going to move to class the All-A Classic again next year.
Yeah, the softball team defeated Union County to win the Class 2A sectional. And then next year, they They, and I think Murray also drops back down to the All-A Classic. And then Madisonville moves down to the 2A sectional next year. So quite a bit of moving around and changing.
Yeah, it's going to end up for a busy All-A Classic schedule next season, because I think right now we've got eight teams in the second region All-A Classic. If we add a ninth, we're going to need to have a little play-in game someplace.
Well, if everybody plays, you will. But, of course, this year in softball, you had two schools that, with UHA and Heritage Christian, who didn't field a team. So there were several byes in the softball bracket. So that'll kind of reduce the number of byes with Trigg coming in. But now, yeah, for baseball, they'll have to kind of get creative with the bracket.
Yeah, Caldwell County's girls actually one of those teams that ended up with a bye because they drew Heritage Christian Academy, and HCA doesn't have a softball team this season. But as you look at baseball and softball in the All-A Classic, which gets underway next week, Caldwell County is going to host the semifinals and finals for baseball. Crittenden County will host the semis and the finals for softball. Who are the favorites in the area for the All-A Classics?
Well, we'll start with baseball. In that upper bracket, you've got Caldwell County and Crittenden County, who just played the other day. Crittenden will host Livingston Central on Monday, and Caldwell County has Fort Campbell. Bottom bracket shapes up to probably be University Heights Academy in Lyon County. University Heights Academy ranked in the coaches' top 10 this week. They played at Somerset over the weekend, one of those, we'll drive halfway if you'll drive halfway, and we'll just meet in Somerset. And they played Sayre, who's always at the All-A Classic, although this year they're not. And then Frederick Douglass, who is ranked in the top 20 in the state, beat both of them. Lyon County, they're at the Donnie Everett Classic in Clarksville this week, and they've had a tough time of it against some really good teams. So if you look at the semifinals, it should shake down to be Crittenden and Caldwell and Lyon and UHA.
Yeah, going to be interesting. And, you know, you look at softball. Of course, on baseball, we'll have the Caldwell games here on WPKY next week, starting with the Fort Campbell game on Monday. In softball, Livingston Central, I'm guessing, is once again the big favorite over there.
I'd say it's Livingston or Lyon County. Livingston Central, you were thinking with them losing Victoria Joyner and Emerson Ramage that they would have some holes to fill, but they've picked right up where they've left off. Of course, they've got one of the most dominant pitchers in the region in Addison Trammell, who can also swing the stick. She no-hit Christian County the other night, struck out 17. I don't think Christian County's been no-hit since Henderson County no-hit them in the 2018 region tournament. So when you no-hit Christian County, regardless of how good they are, and that was an unbeaten Christian County team, you've done something. So, yeah, Trammell's the real deal, and was part of their All-A Classic state championship run last year. Was, I think, the All-A MVP at the state tournament, and she's back. And so that's going to make it tough for Caldwell in the semifinals. And then, of course, the winner of that Lyon-Crittenden County game will probably move on to the championship. Lyon County, they've been in the Smoky Mountains playing at the Cal Ripken Experience, which is an experience. It's pretty nice. The Cal Ripken Experience sits high atop Pigeon Forge, and it's about six or seven turfed fields. But they're all designed after ballparks that Cal Ripken played in, whether it was Memorial or Camden Yards or his minor league stadium. So, we're not talking to the detail that Ken Parker had the wiffle ball fields out there on South Jefferson. I'm not talking about that kind of detail, but just the way the outfield fence was set up at some of these places and just the general design. But they just went 6-0, and so they defeated teams from Ohio and New York. And that's pretty good because the teams in Ohio and New York treat Pigeon Forge the same way the teams in Kentucky treat going to Florida. It's about an eight hour trip, and so, you know, if you're going to drive that way, you definitely want to go home with some wins.
Yeah, and if you go to Pigeon Forge, I'm guessing there's some pretty good views to be seen from the ballpark.
There really is. Trigg went down there in, I think, 2019, and there's a couple of fields that you can shoot and have the mountains in the background because, the Cal Ripken Experience sits high up on the hill, not too far down the road from Dollywood. And so it is. It's nice. It's easy to get to, and they're in the process now of completing some hotels right there, you know, a good three wood from those ball fields. So, I mean, you could stay there and then just walk out your hotel and go play ball.
Now, we've talked about the All-A Classic this morning. We've talked about the Kentucky 2A Championships a little bit. Looks like those championships are probably in Owensboro for some time to come now.
I would say so. You know, Jack Fisher Park, they put some money into that. They've turfed some of that. You know, that was always the problem at Jack Fisher was the rain. And they would always throw the schedule behind. But I think now they've turfed some of that so that that's no longer an issue. Owensboro, especially with the Class 2A people, Owensboro is kind of the de facto home in the same way Richmond was for the All-A Classic. And so I know their golf, 2A golf's at the Owensboro Country Club. Of course, 2A basketball is at the Sports Center where the All-A has been. Owensboro's kind of like Bowling Green. They know how to make, you know, how to make that work to their advantage. And so once they get something, they kind of don't want to let it up. I know Bowling Green's still a little salty about losing the state football championships because they felt they had sponsors for it and felt that with the upgrades to Western Stadium that was kind of a place to hold it, but then Kentucky moved it to Kroger Field. So I don't know. I've been to Old Cardinal Stadium and I've been to the new Cardinal Stadium and I've been to Kroger Field. And while I get it's neat to play at those locations, there is something to be said about a crowd of 6,000 people in a stadium that seats 55,000 people or 50,000 people. There are a lot of empty seats. So when you played at Western, it wasn't a full house, but it was more than half full, sometimes three quarters full. And so, you know, kind of back to your point, yeah, Owensboro's kind of the hub now for the Class 2A people. And I think they're going to try and keep a bid to keep the All-A basketball there too.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. We need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll be back with more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice for Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you looking to make tax season a little brighter? Look no further than Princeton's premier car dealer. They have a wide selection of cars to fit any budget. Their friendly staff are there to help you find the perfect car for your needs. Plus, they offer special financing options to make your purchase even more affordable. Don't wait. Visit them today and make tax season brighter with a new car from Princeton's premier car dealer. For more information, visit TriceHughes.com.
This is Kevin Meacham from H&R Agripire. It takes grit to grow your lawn care business. You need mowers to mash. Kubota has reliable, professional-grade equipment and fleet solutions so you can focus on cutting lawn after lawn. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 1.99% APR for up to 48 months. Now through June 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com/disclaimer for full disclaimer.
H&R Agripower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkinsville, is your home for Kubota sales, parts, and service.
Are you overwhelmed when it comes to marketing your business? This is Cindy Allen Lacks with the Edge Media Group. And when I started my career 30 years ago, we sold radio. But we are so much more today. We have multiple radio stations and websites. Digital advertising. Well, it's a must for a business, but which direction to go in can be a real challenge. We can help you with that challenge. Let us put our team of experts to work for you. Contact us today at theedgemediagroup.net.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Joined now by Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. And Scott, we've had a busy spring so far, but you go back and look the last couple of months, we've had a ton of content over at YourSportsEdge.com.
We have. In fact, thank our people that checked the site out. We had a very good March in terms of views and in video views. Our video views was one of the higher totals we've had in about the last year and a half. I think second most in the last year and a half in terms of video views. So that's always good. Of course, always helped out by the Max's Moment. You had a good one up at Tradewater Park the other night with Aaliyah Cook crashing, doing a bump Bailey and crashing through the fence to make the catch, and that's generated a lot of views as well. But how about that? Baseball and softball back at Tradewater Park for Dawson Springs. Their girls are playing home games in softball for the first time in 6 or 7 years. So I always thought that was a neat place for ball games.
It is a really neat place, and they've done a lot of work over there. They replaced the fencing around the field, you know, the wooden structure, and they put up some new netting behind home plate, so it's a lot better than it used to be. Of course, they're playing softball and baseball on the same infield now, so for baseball, they're going to bring in a portable mound for those games. But about the only issue you have if you're a catcher, there's a lot of foul territory between home plate and the backstop, so it's not uncommon, especially in a softball game, to see a wild pitch to watch a runner take a couple of bases.
Really? Okay. I haven't been there in a while. I haven't been there to cover a game in several years. So, yeah, you see so many softball fields where you turn around and the fence is right there. Or you throw a wild pitch and the catcher don't have to get it because it's going to hit the backstop and come right back to the pitcher. Because there's no space back there. So, yeah, that if you're a catcher, yeah, that'd be like playing at the old Oakland Alameda Stadium. That place had more foul territory. It was larger in Rhode Island, I thought.
And the catch at the fence that robbed the home run against Madisonville the other day, the girl from Dawson said she didn't even realize the fence was there. It's a temporary fence for softball, and, you know, she just kept going back, caught the ball, and fell right back into the fence.
I remember there was some, it has escaped me, but there was some similar controversy at the state tournament when they were playing with a portable fence at either Jack Fisher or somewhere else. And same thing happened. Girl went through the fence, only they ruled that it wasn't a catch. And that sparked some controversy. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why they moved it to an actual stadium, you know, which I agree, you should never play a state tournament game with a portable fence. You know, that kind of speaks to, you know, that'd be like playing a state basketball tournament with the double rims or the chain nets instead of the regular nets or something.
Yeah, or a couple of basketball goals that you rolled out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So a portable goal, but that's still kind of a knock with the KHSAA in some areas is because of facilities. When you get to the state tournament, you want it to feel like a state tournament. You know, you want to you want to feel like that. I don't want to say you're at the Mecca, because that's an overused word. There's only one Mecca, but you want it to feel important, and you want to feel like, you know, this is it. It's like in basketball. You know, you want to get to Rupp. You want to play at Rupp Arena. And I think that's one of the reasons why they moved football from Bowling Green to Lexington, that so they'd be closer. They don't, KHSAA don't like to go outside of Lexington for state tournaments. But, yeah, that's kind of been the knock on them, you know, especially with tennis a couple years ago. They had it at three different locations, and one of them was Berea. And I think the courts at Caldwell County were in better shape than the courts at Berea. So, yeah, I remember the portable fence fiasco, and not long after that, they you know, especially with the way colleges now are really doing a good job of updating their facilities. You know, you go to Western, their softball field is in good shape. Murray's put a lot of money into their softball field. Of course, Louisville and UK have as well. So it gives them, you know, now state softball's at John Cropp Stadium in Lexington. That's a nice facility.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY, Princeton, Kentucky. Talking this morning with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. And Scott, as I look around, and we've chronicled it on Your Sports Edge, a lot of coaching changes, a lot of coaching openings right now. Are there more coaching openings right now than usual, or does it just seem like we have more coaching openings?
Well, you look at girls basketball, and, of course, you know, Caldwell County just having theirs open up, and I think that's the only one in the region, except they haven't named the coach for the new Christian County High School yet. But I think when you go through and look, everybody else seems to be in good shape as far as their girls' positions go. Guys, you know, and again, Caldwell has an opening there. Of course, Christian County named Kerry Stovall the coach for their new school. I think, yeah, Livingston Central, they've got an opening. So
Dawson Springs
has an opening. Yeah. So I'd say it's about the same. It just seems like they came a little earlier than normal. Normally the coaches don't make the decision after spring break or so. And I think sometimes they go on spring break and realize, hey, I can kind of get used to this, and come back and say, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. And so we'll see. I think coaches, though, they have to kind of make that announcement earlier, because, you know, the off season gets started earlier. You know, you didn't do anything till July. And as soon as school is out, you got basketball teams playing in all kinds of summer camps and summer tournaments and leading up to the dead period. So it's a total flip-flop than the way it used to be. It used to be that football had June, and that's when they would do their 7-on-7, and then they go on the dead period and come out and go into practice. Well, the basketball people didn't like that, because they didn't get any time, because football had 7-on-7 before the dead period and then had regular football practice after. So they were able to lobby the KHSAA to give basketball that window before the dead period, which is why you see all the schools, you know, all the teams doing their summer stuff. And football doesn't really do a whole lot before the dead period, and then they come out of the dead period with their 7-on-7 and go into practice. So the basketball coaches like that, the football coaches don't, and so it makes for a busy time. So, you know, schools have got to get on the ball, and they've got to get coaches in place before school lets out. Because if not, they're going to miss out on that pre-dead period workout time.
Scott, how is your NCAA tournament bracket looking these days?
Not bad. I had Florida. I picked Florida to win it. So, of course, I lost them. I did have Michigan in the Final Four, and I also had Arizona in the Final Four. And so I don't know. I originally thought about picking Arizona, and then you see those little graphics pop up, and, you know, no team west of the Mississippi has won the NCAA tournament since 1997, that being Arizona. No team with red in their uniforms has won the national championship since, I think, 1999. You know, you see those pop up, and so I did pick Arizona, but I think Arizona is the best team. Watching them all year long, I think they've been the best team. So that pretty much puts me middle of the pack, top third of most of the brackets, even though I have Florida picked to go to the Final Four. Now, my women's bracket's looking real good. Women's games are easy to pick. You just pick the number one seeds to win out and pick UConn to win the national championship. You follow that formula, and you're going to do well in a lot of brackets. There's not a lot of drama when it comes to picking the women's bracket.
Now, my men's bracket has a lot of holes in it, but I did get Michigan and Arizona through to the Final Four. I also had Florida winning the whole thing. My big surprise team was St. John's, and that didn't quite come through for me. So I've got a couple of teams left, but I can't win the championship. So in most of the pools, I'm kind of done.
Yeah. It's been interesting this year, and I think the tournament's going to be interesting in the NIL era. I think it's going to be really hard for a Cinderella to go through and win. And when I say Cinderella, I'm not talking about the number five team out of the Big Ten or the number six team out of the SEC. I think the days of seeing the Florida Atlantics and the San Diego States crash the Final Four at I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if that happens anymore, because usually the good players on those teams transfer out to the Power Fives. But I don't know. We'll see. It's been some good games and some great shots. And, you know, hopefully UConn gave us our new Leitner for the next 20 years. So we see that shot whenever CBS begins their broadcast instead of the Leitner shot.
Yeah, I can definitely live with that. Well, yeah. Scott, appreciate you coming on the show this morning and talking sports with us, and good luck wherever you're headed for the rest of the week.
Well, I head to Huntsville, Alabama today. I'm going to go watch Trigg County softball team down there. They're in the Bob Jones Classic. But Livingston Central's down there as well, so I'm going to probably watch both of them. And then, like I said, next week we come back for All-A Classic baseball and softball the schools that aren't on spring break this week, I think, are on spring break next week. And then you get out of next week, and, you know, it's hammered down with baseball, softball, and then you're going to get a run of several big track and field meets as well.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com joining us on the Sideline Report this morning. Also appreciate Kaawa County football head coach Aaron McClung for being on the show today. Aaron and I will have the call for baseball later on today. We'll have Tiger baseball for you here on WPKY. The Tigers hosting Henderson County at the VFW ballpark. Hopefully the weather holds for us and we can have baseball action. First pitch set for 6:30 today out at the ballpark. And if you can't make it to the game, you can listen right here on WPKY. That's going to wrap us up this morning for the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.